Will you turn with me to the book we read there, the letter to the Hebrews? And I want us to take two passages to put together. First of all, in the portion we read, chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There, the obligation of listening and laying up what God is saying to us. And in verse 3 of chapter 3 and verse 7, we read, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This morning we were seeing, listening, and noting the way in which the Lord God, and especially Isaiah 40 in the very beginning of that chapter, the way in which God speaks comforting thoughts to his people. And the way in which it's put there, he keeps on speaking these comforting thoughts. It's a message he repeats to his people in their need, in their want. And that comfort that is spoken of in Isaiah 40 is achieved and obtained through the life and the death and the suffering of the character that Isaiah often refers to, the servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord is, of course, pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, Isaiah is saying to get ready for the coming of that servant of the Lord. Prepare the way, he says. Remove every obstacle that is in the way. Anything that would hinder God coming amongst and with his people. When you come down into the New Testament, John the Baptist takes that very passage of Isaiah 40 and he explains to us the kind of obstacles that have to be removed. And he tells us the kind of preparation, the spiritual preparation work that needs to be done. John the Baptist says quite plainly and clearly that repentance is the need of the moment. That we need to cultivate a spiritual character and attitude that God looks for and delights in. Not the self-confidence of the scribe or the Pharisee in their performance or their birth or their history. Instead, John the Baptist is pointing us to something far more intimate and personal in ourselves. He is speaking about our own heart's disposition. He is speaking about what we are here, alone before God. Not what people see us do and perform. He is far more concerned about what God sees and notes in us. John the Baptist giving us indication then what the Lord requires of us, and especially the barriers and the obstacles that have to be removed, and the challenge therefore for us to get ready for that coming. And of course, John the Baptist is the herald for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that goes before to intimate the coming of Jesus Christ, the one who is the servant of the Lord. And even there, when you go to the very first sermon which Jesus Christ preached in Mark chapter 1 and 15, we read there that what was it he spoke of? What was it that the Lord mentioned and brought to the attention of the people? What was the vital thing? He speaks the same message as Isaiah. He highlights the same theme as John the Baptist. He says, repent and believe. And he adds urgency to that demand and obligation laid upon the people. He tells them, why should they do these things? Why do these obstacles need to be removed? And why do these things need to be put in place? Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is close by. And that should give urgency, that should give pause to every one of us. Our life can be dragged along at a great pace of knots. Our life can be going along at a fearful speed. And then God speaks to us. And He brings home to us something that is far more important and far more urgent than anything that we might have. He tells us about a spiritual reality and destiny. He's telling us about something that is much more influential and dominating upon our lives than anything we've got in our hands or our minds. The kingdom of God is at hand. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very first sermon recorded for us that He preaches. But then we move on and we come to the very beginning of this very book that we're in, Hebrews chapter 1. We read it there. God, who at different times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. There is a summary of God's relation with His people. And here is the climax of His dealings with them and with us. God has spoken a full and a final word in Jesus Christ, His Son. He is the one who tells us what God requires of us. He is the one that shows us what God looks for in us. He is the one that tells us of our problems and of the one spiritual solution that is in His hand to solve these problems. He is the one who tells us what we need to do and how we need to be. A full and a final word. That first sermon that He preached, nothing else needs to be added to it. People might say to you today, oh yes, but that message about repentance and that message about sin, these things belong to the Old Testament. Leave them in the Old Testament. Focus your mind upon the love and such like. And what we've got here is straight against all that. There is a consistency. There is a thread and there is a theme that comes down to us through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, through the prophets, and through the Messiah. A simple, straight message to you and to me that we need to repent. That's the obstacle. Our sin is an obstacle between us and God. And we need to own it, confess it before God. The message that Jesus Christ brings to us. But He also calls on us to repent and to believe. He calls on us to trust in Him because His life focused upon a cross of Calvary. And there on that cross there was transacted a tremendous spiritual event. The sins of His people were laid upon His Son. And there in the giving of His life and in the shedding of His blood, a penalty is paid for all of these sins at a fearful cost, the death of His Son. And therefore there is only one way of escape and there is only one answer to our problem. And He Himself gives it to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're called upon therefore to repent, to believe, to trust, to rely upon Jesus Christ. Nothing more. Nothing more needs to be said. Nothing more can be added. There it is in its essence and in its simplicity. Therefore, tonight, what are we doing with what we've got? It comes down to that simple challenge to every one of us. What are we doing with what we've got? That is the important question of the hour. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Today, if you hear the voice, harden not your hearts. What is it that we've got to take out of these experiences for our own application this evening? The very first thing I want us to be aware of is the very solemn occasion that is referred to in verse 7 of chapter 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, here is a very solemn occasion brought before us. Yes, the writer is quoting from the Old Testament, but he is quoting in a very unusual way. So often, whenever a quotation is given, it might be put down according to whoever wrote it, as Moses said, or as one of the prophets said, or as David said it. And we get our eyes focused upon the human vessel, the instrument that God is using. But here, such is the solemnity of the occasion that here God is cutting out every one of these human instruments and God is focusing our thoughts upon the divine author himself. For seriousness and for solemnity, for weight and consideration with us, we have to focus upon God's immediate dealings with us. As the Holy Ghost says, speaking to you and to me, that's what's happening here this evening. Nobody else in between. Just you and God. Me and God. A solemn occasion. And God is speaking to us. He is speaking to us through the Bible and through these portions of scriptures. He is bringing home to us a spiritual lesson. Perhaps in the past, we've tried to avoid the challenge of the scriptures. Perhaps in the past, we've tried to go away comfortable. We've tried to escape and get out from under. In the past, we've tried to get out and avoid the challenge that God is putting before us. And we've said something like, oh, that's Paul speaking. That's David speaking. And that kind of excuse is here dealt with. Here we have an audience with Almighty God. As the Holy Ghost says, God is speaking to us all and to each one of us individually. Perhaps for 10 hours, to take the analogy of human thought, perhaps for 10 hours we've neglected what God has said. Perhaps we're holding on to the hope that in the 11th hour, in that final hour, in that last moment, when we've enjoyed life to the full, then perhaps we will respond. But the Lord gives us no comfort nor consolation in that approach to things. Remember that there were two crosses on either side of the Savior. Both of them there in their 11th hour. Both of them hearing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in his dying agony. But only one of them trusted in Jesus Christ. Let us not be presumptuous about keeping on putting things off. Today, God is speaking to us. Today, God's Word is entering into our lives. Today, now, this morning, this evening, the Scriptures are let loose inside our mind and our thinking. God is challenging us, confronting us. He is meeting us and speaking with us. And therefore, we've got to beware. Beware of trifling with Him. He is patient and He has been long-suffering in the way in which He has dealt with us. But the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Don't therefore delay a moment longer. Make haste. We're on thin ice. And the ice is getting thinner the more that we defer things and the more that we delay things. Today, harden not your hearts if you will hear the voice of the Holy Ghost speak. Here we are isolated if you hear it. There's so much din and there's so much noise in our lives. We had it there a moment ago when we were starting our service. And that's just simply an illustration that alarm going off constantly. There's a buzz, and a buzz in our life. So much that distracts us. If that were to continue, we would all be distracted through our service. But it's not. It's silent. It's stilled. And just the same as that alarm is silent and still for our sermon, so here other things are silent and still that were buzzing around in our mind and in our life yesterday and we think might be there again tomorrow. In the quietness of this service, in the quietness of our soul alone with God, He speaks to us. He is setting out His priority for us. He says, oh yes, there's many things that you look for in life and there's many things that you want out of life, but there's one thing that's important. One thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. There's one thing that is urgent that you've got to put right. We spoke about it at the beginning there, about the kingdom of God being at hand. We don't know how close it is. Wisdom then tells us, let's make ready. Because it might come in the blink of an eye. When we're least expecting it and certainly ill-prepared for it. You remember the illustration that was given about the fig tree. The tree that was growing up and the way in which it wasn't bearing any fruit. And the person was just going to put the axe in and cut it down. He says, no, spare it, spare it, spare it. Don't do that yet. Let's give it some food. Let's give it some food and see if it grows and produces some fruit. We don't know. We don't know where the line is drawn. But we've got to use our time and we've got to use our opportunities well. And if we don't respond to the patience of God and His long-suffering, if we don't respond to the good things that God is giving us day after day, week after week, then sometime we might feel that axe going in against us. A solemn, solemn occasion. A very private dealing with God. The way in which the Lord God speaks to us, drawing attention to what we are in His sight, what we are like before Him. The way in which we've offended Him. He paints our life in spiritual colors. He shows to us our great need and danger. He shows to us things that perhaps we've never realized in the past. This indeed is a solemn occasion because God is speaking and dealing with every one of us. And if this is a solemn occasion, what is the special duty and requirement that God has laid upon us from this text? Today, if you hear His voice, are we listening to what God is saying? Sometimes we can hear something said, and maybe it's old age. Perhaps for some it can be that. But something is said, and we quickly dismiss it. We look in the mirror. We see an outline. But we quickly forget what we see. There are so many people hearing, but how many are listening? We've got to take note of what's happening in our lives. The things that God is saying, the change in emphasis that He brings about, the way in which history, providence, events that were in the past totally neutral, now take on a different color and complexion. We begin to see things through spiritual glasses and with a spiritual understanding. And therefore the obligation and the duty is, listen. Listen to what God is saying to us. Lay it up and hold on to it. Don't let it be stolen away by the things of life and society about us. Mary, we are told, was much involved in the things concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary, and what are we told she did? She pondered them. She went away and she thought over them. Do we take away what God says to us? And do we go over them and over them and over them again? In this book of Hebrews, we are told in chapter 10, to hold fast. Let us hold fast the things that we've been given. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast the new and living way. Hold fast. Don't let them be taken away from you. Don't let them slip through your hands. You remember the well-known lesson of the sower and the seed. There the test is given as to how we respond to God's word. How do we respond? Are we listening to what God is saying? The seed can be choked by the thorns, the pressure of this world, just growing round about it and slowly throttling it. We've got to take heed and listen. Listen to the truth that God is telling us about. Sometimes we're afraid of what God says to us. Sometimes God goes right to the bone. Sometimes God's finger goes right upon a vital thing deep inside our life. God sometimes puts it right on the mark. And He tells us the truth about something that's there that shouldn't be there. We might not want to hear it. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes too much of a wave in a pond of our life. We try to put up the shutters. We try to block it out. We try to stop our ears. We try to cast our minds adrift to think about anything but what God is saying to us. But now, we cannot. God is telling us things that are good and right for us. We've got to listen to what God is saying. He's telling us the truth about ourselves. And He's challenging us to obey Him and follow Him. Things that, there's many things in life, and again, the longer we go on in life, perhaps it's something we learn through the school of experience, but the longer we go on in life, the more we realize that we can just let so much go by us. There's so much that we can just take or leave. But when we get down to God speaking to us, when we get down to God bringing home the truth, now that is something we cannot treat with indifference. We cannot take it or leave it. God's message comes to us with power and with authority. It's not man that's dealing with us here and now. It is God. And he gives us commands as well as telling us the truth. He deals with us graciously. He invites us. He tells us the things that he has done. Come now, for all things are now ready. There's a table of spiritual things spread out for you to satisfy your soul, and the invitation is given. Come and eat of that spiritual table. Everything has been provided by Jesus Christ, his Son, and the invitation comes through the gospel to come to believe in him. He gives us a promise that when we come and eat of that table, we will be revived and refreshed, and we will know and experience eternal life. Sometimes we're a little bit afraid. Sometimes we're halting and doubting and holding back. But all the time God is repeatedly speaking to us, graciously inviting us, calling us, pleading with us, speaking to us, to obey, to follow, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The special duty then, are we listening? Are we listening to what God is saying to us? And then it comes down to something else. Not only the solemn occasion, the special duty, notice the specific time. When is all this happening? Today. Right here, right now. Right now it's happening. God speaking to us. Oh yes, we can think of so much of our own spiritual experience. Just think of the pages of your diary. Just go back over the way in which you can look back over how many years and how many sermons we've all heard, perhaps preached. Think back over the many things that God has been saying to us. We're now perhaps in the sunset of our days. How long has it been? How long has it been since we heard the first gospel message? How many more do we need? Today, we're given this message, we're given this opportunity, we have this time. We've known the emptiness of life, we've known the vanity of life. We've been let down so many times in so many ways, we've needed help from so many different people. A long, long time of experiments we've conducted through life, through our days, through our living. All of these things have come to the same conclusion that there's no peace for us in this world. How long then are we going to linger on this thin ice? We are only a breath away from meeting God. After a long time, with all of these spiritual experiences stacked up in our memories, with all of these spiritual experiences packed into our lives, God is speaking to us now, and he's calling us to trust in him. Yes, we might yet have a degree of sensitivity, because that's one of the things that is mentioned here. Harden not your hearts. Think back to the times when perhaps a sermon or a text came home to you. Something was said, something was written, something was quoted, and you felt that it was God speaking to you, and your heart was sensitive, and you were aware of the pressure of the moment, and you were aware of spiritual things breaking in. You were aware of eternity staring you in the face, but you let it pass by. And yet there's still a little bit of sensitivity still. There's a little bit of sensitivity still with you there. Today. Before that sensitivity is totally lost. Today. The Lord is speaking to you. In middle age, in youth, all of these are stages and faces that pass us by. Every one of them we can address ourselves. When we come into the sunset of our days, when we've got old age and only thing with us now are memories. Today, God is speaking to us. And He's addressing us as we are and where we are with all of the character we've got and the experiences we've gathered. And we've got this one unique privilege of the Lord speaking to us now in the Scriptures tonight, calling us to trust in Jesus Christ, His Son. This book of Hebrews sets out the glorious perfection of Jesus Christ, the way in which He is so superior to all of the Old Testament forms and rituals and ways of doing things. That's the thrust of the book of Hebrews. The way in which Jesus Christ excels in no matter what area of contrast might be set up, be it with the high priest, be it with the sacrifices, be it with the inheritance on such and such and such again. The contrast constantly comes down to the same conclusion that Jesus Christ is the fullness and the perfection of God's inheritance for His people. And here He is before us tonight. And the invitation is given for us to trust in Him. The opportunity once more given to us. A unique opportunity. Today, if you hear His voice, and that brings us to the last thing, the spiritual danger that is set out for us. He says, harden not your heart. Chapter 2 and verse 3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel opportunity and privilege. The gospel door is set before us. From this gospel the Lord is speaking to us. And He holds out this gospel as we need it in our souls. But if we pass it by, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? What happens to us if we simply go away, neglect, dismiss, ignore what the Lord is plainly setting before us in privilege just now? Are we listening? More importantly, are we responding to what He says? Don't harden our hearts. Don't throw off all the influences. Don't abandon us. Don't abandon ourselves to the things of this world and all of the things that the world offers to us. Taking the dog for a walk, and we've all seen the dogs do it. They go into the water, and they come out of the water, and there they are on the bank, and they just simply give themselves a good shake. Get rid of the water off their fur. Sometimes that's what we try to do. We come and we hear a gospel service. We come and we hear a message that begins to get underneath our skin and into our soul. We hear something that begins to upset us and disturb us and to make us more careful. And then what happens? We are reaching a crucial moment. Do we hold on to it and ponder it as Mary did, the things concerning the birth of Jesus? Or do we behave like a dog coming out of the water and shaking ourselves to get rid of all of these influences, all of these things that we've heard and the Lord has laid upon us. That's the danger every single one of us faces as we listen to God speaking to us in this gospel. We are alone. No matter who's with us or beside us, we are alone before God. And the danger isn't around us or beyond us, it's within us. And we've got to be careful how we respond. We can ask for signs. Oh Lord, show me this. Do this. Do that. Lord, deliver me out of this mess that I've made. Deliver me out of this problem that I've caused. Lord, help me in this one thing, and then I'll follow you. We're not content with the gospel as it's been given to us. God has given us the greatest sign possible for us to believe in and trust in. His own Son dying on a cross in the place of sinners. A display of mercy for the whole world to see. But I want some more. I want a dream. I want a vision. I want some impression. I want some experience. We've got to be careful. There's no surer stance that we can take than to stand upon the promises that God has given and the work that His Son has done. We read this morning and we repeat it tonight. The Word of God stands forevermore. Man is like a flower of a field and the grass round about us. It withers, so we do. But God's Word, it will not change. Therefore, if we're holding on to what God has given us in His Word, the promise of God is tied to the character of God. God's promise, therefore, will not fail, because that would mean God being untrue to Himself. That will never be. But we've got to be careful that we take His Word as He has given it to us, without qualification, division, or addition. He's given us the promises. He's given us the narrative. He's given us the facts. He's given us the interpretation. God in these last days has spoken to us in Jesus Christ His Son. Full, final, complete. It then comes to us. The responsibility, the mantle comes on us as hearers and listeners. What are we doing? How are we responding to what God has said and what God has done? We can make so many different excuses. Oh, have me excused, I've just bought some animals. Have me excused, I've just bought some ground. Have me excused, I've just got married. These are the kind of excuses that were made in Scripture. We can employ them and we can add to them ourselves. The simple question, do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the simple answer to that question? What use are we making of what God has given us? What use are we making of the opportunities and the privileges we've had tonight and in our past life? God has spoken to us many's a time as He is speaking to us now here tonight, speaking to your soul, calling on you, laying before you the command and encouraging you with the invitation and the promise, but laying upon you the obligation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How then are we responding to what He has told us? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, again we bless Thy name for the privileges given to us. We bless Thy name for the opportunity of hearing this glorious message of pardon and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And we pray for the melting influence of Thy Spirit upon our hearts. We ask, Lord, that we might have a sensitivity that goes beyond our own past experiences, that we may linger for a moment underneath the teaching of the truth in Jesus Christ, and that our hearts might, for the first time perhaps, feel and be aware of the things of heaven and eternity have an effect upon us. Deal with us in Thy grace and draw us to Thyself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 50. Psalm 50 at the beginning, "The mighty God, the Lord, hath spoken and did call the earth from rising of the sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Sion hill, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shine gloriously. Our God shall surely come. Keep silence, shall not he? Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. Unto the heavens clear he from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all."
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit, bless the Father and abide with you all.